you have your Bible, why don't you take them and open them up to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 is going to be on page 814 if you're using the Bible in the pew in front of you. Last week we started a new sermon series that we called Connect, Finding Your Fit. Finding Your Fit. And we talked about how important it really is if you are a follower of Jesus to get connected into some deeper relationships, some more authentic relationships, not just staying at the surface with somebody and just kind of, you know, how you doing? Fine. How are you? Oh, fine. And you shake hands and then you take off. But to go a little bit deeper, to have some authentic, face-to-face, real, raw relationships with other people. We're talking about that connecting that goes beyond just maybe connecting with a few friends on Facebook, although that may be a great way to stay connected with people, but a deeper connection. What we're talking about, that kind of connection where you walk and talk with somebody else or a group of people, and you walk and talk through life together. You do life together in the context of community, in the context of biblical community. We talked last week just to kind of reset the stage and help us to think, oh yeah, that's right. Well, I remember we were talking about being connected. We talked about how God created human beings to be connected relationally with one another. That was His idea from the very beginning. We said, if we were to look back in Genesis 1 and 2, the start of creation, what we see God saying in Genesis 2:18, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. And so we saw where God created another person, and that person's name was Eve. You're with me? Some of you are. Let's try that again. That person's name was Eve. Oh, there you are. Okay, you're back with me now. And He created Eve to be a good connection, to be a good fit with Adam. And sure, God is for marriage between a man and a woman. But I really believe that that verse has some more to it there when we kind of take a step back and just go, wow, yeah, God's for marriage and He created marriage, but God also created us to be connected with one another. He created us to fit with one another. There is a deep-seated need inside of all of us because of how God created us to fit together. And maybe that's in a marriage relationship for many, but regardless of marriage, He still created you, if you're a single adult, to be in community with other people and to be connected with other people in community, in this thing called community. God created humans to enjoy being connected in community, and the reason that He did that is because that's in His nature. That's in His character. It's one of the foundational doctrines of our faith, that God is a communal God. It's a doctrine known as the Trinity. And it can be kind of confusing, but just take a step back and just kind of look at it for what it is. It's one God choosing to express Himself in three persons or three forms: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, our Muslim neighbors would go, no, you worship three gods. No, we worship one God who chooses to express Himself in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And maybe we'll dive into that doctrine of the Trinity at another time. But what I want you just to kind of begin to think about is, from the very beginning, God has been about community. He's been in community with Himself: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, living in the context of community. And we as human beings are created in God's image, and thus we too have been created with a deep-seated bentness towards being in community, just like our Creator God has always been in community with Himself. God has a plan for human beings to fit together, to live together, to do life together, and we are only going to be who God truly desires for us to become when we're connected not only with our God, whose name is Jesus, but also with other people who are trying to follow Jesus. That's the way He set it up. God wants us to be connected to find our fit, and to do life together. That's how we were created. Last week, I encouraged you to pick up three things. Anybody have those three things with them? Yeah? Legos. Bring toys to church. If you get bored, play with your Legos. Three Legos. If you weren't here last week, or if you've lost your Legos, we got the Lego stash right over here, okay? So feel free if you missed out or if you need to pick up some other Legos, okay? Now, this is not to, you know, make your whole collection, okay? If you need to get some Legos, get you some Legos. You know, I've got these big Mongo Legos up here so you can see a little bit better. I love this morning, one lady had on... had her Legos, and they were together like this, and she had connected them to a little loop and had it on a chain. She was wearing it around her neck. She said, "Man, I've had more conversations this week with people about what are the Legos around your neck? What are those for?" Well, it's about your life being connected to God and the way God created us to connect with Him, but also to connect with other people who are trying to follow Him. So if you're having a hard time getting into spiritual conversations, jewelry. Okay? Just wear it around your neck. You never know what kind of conversations you might have with people. And so if you haven't had a chance to pick up your Legos, pick them up this morning. And the thing about Legos, since 1958, those Legos that rolled off that first assembly line, they've all been created to be able to connect with each other. That's their primary function. And we've just been looking at those Legos as a metaphor for our own lives, that God created us to connect with Himself and with other people who are trying to follow Jesus. You were meant to have deep connections in your life. You are meant to connect deeply with Jesus. And you are meant to connect deeply with other people who are trying to follow Jesus. Key word in there is trying. Trying to follow Jesus. Because we don't all do it perfectly, do we? But we're trying. We're trying to follow Jesus. Last week, we talked about one of the best ways that we can begin to find our fit and begin to connect with other people who are trying to follow Jesus is to take a huge risk and actually step into what we call around here Bible fellowships. If you're new, what in the world is a Bible fellowship? Well, maybe you have heard of Sunday school before. And if you've heard of Sunday school before, that's what we call Bible fellowship. Somebody, you go, "Well, why don't you just call Sunday school, if that's what it is?" Well, because if you're like me, I grew up going to school my whole life, and I just don't want to keep going to school my whole life. And I sure don't want to go on Sunday. And so I'm all about the Bible, and I'm all about fellowship, and that's really what Sunday school is. It just sounds better and not as daunting as going to school on Sunday. So we call it Bible fellowships because hopefully if you've walked through the door, you're open to the Bible and open to opening the Bible and opening to be in fellowship with one another. I mean, during the month of January, I am encouraging. I'm trying to challenge. I'll beg you. I'll plead with you. Whatever it takes to motivate you to find your place and find your fit in one of the Bible fellowships here at Arapahoe Road. And they're for all ages, all seasons of life. I mean, if you're a child, we've got incredible children's Bible fellowships. You saw Lisa Salinas standing down here earlier with the family that was dedicated this morning. And Lisa does an incredible job in our children's ministry to provide appropriate age-related topics and great opportunities for children to get connected with other children their age. If you're a teenager, you know, 6th grade through 12th grade, we've got an incredible student ministry that is ready for you to find your fit and get connected in your teenage years. And if you're an adult, whether you're a young adult or you've lived a lot of adult life and you're kind of on out in front just leading the way, wherever you fall in the spectrum, there is an adult Bible fellowship for you to connect with in your season of life. And here's the deal. These three little Legos that you have today, or that you're going to get today, one of those Legos, they represent you, okay? One of them represents God, and one of them represents other people who are trying to follow Jesus. And I'm going to just say that over and over today because I want you to walk away with that. And I want you to really think about that. And when your life is connected to God, and when you begin to connect with other people who are trying to follow Jesus, you are beginning to get into the rhythm and into the step of who God wants you to be and who you were created to be. And if the goal of our lives, the goal of my life, is to continue to look more and more and more like Jesus, then you and I are going to have to check our connections on a regular basis. God, am I connected with you? Yeah. God, am I connected with other people? Maybe. Maybe. I hope so. If you're not really connected or you're feeling disconnected, I hope today that God will show you how important it is to be connected. I want you to notice something in the Bible. I want you to notice the people that Jesus was connected to. I mean, there were guys who were really close to him, who had deep, authentic, raw, real relationships, who kind of had face-to-face, heart-to-heart, life-to-life kind of relationships with Jesus. Look in Matthew 10, and I'll introduce you to him. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 1, says this, "And he, Jesus, called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction." Verse 2, these were the names of the 12 apostles. They are first Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Folks, just from right here, we get to see their names, and as you read the Gospels, you see these same guys forming community, forming good connections around Jesus. Jesus did not model a life that lived in isolation. Jesus modeled a life that lived in community, that lived connected with some deeper, authentic, real-life relationships with other people who were trying to follow him. And it's Jesus who sought out these relational connections with these guys. And can I just tell you something? If we are going to become like Jesus and begin to live lives that look more like Jesus, we're going to have to follow in Jesus' footsteps. We're going to have to live lives that were modeled by Jesus. And what we see Jesus doing is taking an intentional step to relate and connect his life with other people's lives. We need circles of connection. We need these circles of intimacy around our lives. And can I tell you something that God's been showing me about that? When we try to seek out spiritual connections, deeper relationships with other people who are trying to follow Jesus, I believe that in itself is a spiritual discipline. It is a spiritual discipline. Being connected in authentic community with other people who are trying to follow Jesus is a spiritual discipline. It's something God's been showing me lately. I try to be real with you. I try to kind of pull the veil back and just say, here's where I am in my walk with God. I'm not the professional that you're paying me to have a relationship with Jesus. I'm just trying to walk and follow him and be a guy who's in love with Christ and being who he wants me to be. Okay, and so I'm just going to share with you along the way the things that God's showing me, just as a fellow walker with God, somebody trying to follow Jesus. And this is what God's been showing me lately. I kind of like spiritual disciplines. I like to study spiritual disciplines. I'm kind of weird that way. That's just the way God kind of wired me. I'm just kind of gravitate towards discipline. Okay, and that kind of makes me weird. My wife will say, yeah, it does. And by the way, she's not here this morning because Lulu threw up about 7:30. I got the phone call while I'm over there trying to load my sermon up. Well, we're out. Okay, so she's not here this morning, and Jack's not here this morning. So hopefully that's not going to be a bug running through our house. But man, when I get up in the morning, I function better if I have a routine. Yeah, anybody like that? Who's not like that? You just kind of like to go where the wind blows that day. That's some of you out there? Yeah. You get a wind blow kind of a person with a disciplined kind of person and watch what happens. That's called marriage, and it is fun. Now, I'm just kind of bent towards discipline. Am I perfect? No. But am I kind of bent towards routine and structure? Yeah. I kind of like things done a certain way, don't I, George? Yeah, see George going, yeah, man, boy, I preach it. Yeah, he does, yeah. I kind of like the discipline of a routine. My day doesn't go well if coffee's not hitting my lips within 30 seconds. It's already gone bad. It's blown off course. And I need to get that cup of coffee, and I need to get to my brown chair after I've let the dog out. I'm not even going to go there. Why am I the only one up dealing with the dog in the morning? And it's just the way it goes, because I'm the disciplined one. That's right. That's why it is. So I'm up. I got to get to my brown chair. I need my Bible. I need my pen. I need my journal, and I need to read and pray and just begin to orient my life towards wherever it is that God is wanting me to move that day. I mean, when you think of spiritual disciplines, maybe you haven't really thought about that a whole lot this week. Think about it with me for a second. When you think about spiritual disciplines, maybe you think about things like reading the Bible or praying or journaling. Maybe you think about something like fasting. That's a spiritual discipline. We're going to talk about that a little bit next week. Oh, I can't wait till that. That's going to be fun. Talking about fasting. Maybe it's memorizing scripture. That's a spiritual discipline. By the way, can I brag on our Awana program? Incredible, incredible, incredible kids opportunity and student opportunity that is teaching our children to memorize scripture. My kids have memorized more scripture in the last 11 months through the Awana program than, I mean, they are doing an incredible job. Our leadership over there is doing a great job. If you're volunteering over there, God bless you. You are doing an incredible, incredible job. I'm so proud of those disciplines that are getting into our kids' lives. Maybe you think about spiritual disciplines and you think about the discipline of silence. And you're just kind of going, wow, I need to experience that discipline because my life's real noisy. Or solitude. Or the discipline of giving. Maybe it's the discipline of worship when you don't feel like worshiping. Or the discipline of serving. Man, so many of you are doing such an incredible job choosing to find a place in our community right off of our website and clicking on Serve the City, and you're finding a place in the rhythm of your life to choose to be disciplined to serve somebody else. Your kids will learn more about who God is in the heart of God when you take them to serve with you. It's amazing. And those are all disciplines. The discipline you may not be thinking about when you think about spiritual disciplines is the discipline of community. The spiritual discipline of community. But the more that I've been praying and studying and trying to look at the life of Jesus and the life that he modeled, I am beginning to see in a very convincing way that being connected in authentic community is a spiritual discipline that Jesus sought out, stayed connected to, and modeled. I mean, think about it with me for a second. And just look back with me at the text that we just read. And think about if you've read the Bible very much or you've heard the Bible. If you haven't, you're just going to have to go with me on this. These names that we're going to read, they come up story after story after story in different opportunities along the way of Jesus' life. And you see these same fellas connected with Jesus and trying to follow him. And there's a phrase I'm going to show you in a moment that's just been kind of haunting me. And I'll show it to you in a minute. Let's just read through these again. And I want you to think not about a name on the page, but a person who's connected with Jesus. And he, Jesus, called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And the names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who's also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Let me just show you what Jesus has been showing me about himself in this discipline of community. I want you to look on the screen at how the first phrase and the last phrase of that passage fits together. And it's all one thought, okay? Those four verses are all one thought. But look what it says here. And he called to him, and Jesus called to himself Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. That just floors me when I don't just kind of glance over it and get on to the rest of the good stuff. But when I look at that and I just go, whoa. I mean, God's been all over me about this. God's been showing me that he chose intentionally to walk into deep relationships with somebody who was flawed. That I believe he knew when he was calling that that person would betray him, stab him in the back with a kiss on the cheek. See, it's not that hard for me to sit there and read those first 11 names and kind of go, yeah, I can kind of see Jesus wanting to hang out, pal around with, I mean, guys like Peter, because he's just kind of a cool dude. He's kind of an interesting guy. I mean, he's the kind of guy I'd want to watch the NFC Championship with next week. I mean, he's just kind of a neat guy. Hey, yeah, he's kind of thick-headed, and you know, he kind of puts his foot in his mouth. But he's an interesting guy. He's a jovial guy. He brings life to the party. I mean, and his brother Andrew. I mean, Andrew's a great dude. Andrew's the kind of guy you want to have. Andrew's constantly making you feel welcome. He's constantly putting his arm around you and saying, come on, be a part. Come on, join us. I mean, you got guys like James and John that we see all throughout the scriptures. Super great guys. Super great. Those guys were fishermen. We got any fishermen in here? You know what's great about fishermen? They tell stories. Half of them are lies, but they tell good stories. And so I'm just sitting here going, yeah, I could totally see James and John, good storytellers, good guys, always kind of, you know, bringing life to the party. You got guys like Philip and Bartholomew. You don't know a whole lot about them, but they seem to be pretty good guys. They seem to be, you know, reliable friends, people that are in the inner circle there. You got Thomas. I mean, Thomas is a bit of a cynic, sure. He's a little hard to convince sometimes, but once you do, he's with you. I mean, he's there. Matthew. Matthew's good with money. He's a little, you know, kind of needs to get his priorities right sometimes about money. But hey, it's always good to be connected with somebody who's your money man. You might need a loan. You just never know. And so I could totally see Jesus going, yeah, hey, let's get the money guy in there. That makes sense to me. You know, it's good. But Judas? I mean, Judas was tagged as the one who betrayed him. This past weekend, I was back at my home church that I grew up at, First Baptist Woodway in Waco, Texas. And the guy who was my youth minister, his name's Bob, he's still there. He's been there since March of 84. He's figured out a system to connect with teenagers. And he keeps getting older, but they keep staying the same age. And he's this legend. And he's connected with all these Baylor students that want to invest their lives into high school and junior high students. And he just runs this ministry machine down there that's just cranking out young disciples. And I try to go back to Bob each year that he asked me to. And I go back and I lead the seniors in his Disciple Now. And this weekend we had 59 graduating seniors down there at First Woodway. And one of the things we were talking about is identity. And I said, you know, how many of you have letter jackets or have earned a letter? And I mean, you know, a bunch of hands went up. And, you know, on their letter jackets on the back, it says their last name. And then it kind of has a tagline underneath it, you know, the captain or, you know, football fanatic or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And I just got to thinking about what would Judas Iscariot's letter jacket look like? It would just say Iscariot, the betrayer. I mean, just think with me for a second. Don't you think Jesus knew better than to connect his life with somebody like that? Somebody who was going to betray him? I mean, Jesus is God, right? I mean, he knew what he was doing, right? He knew that he was connecting his life not only with the Father, God the Father, but he was connecting his life with some other guys to go deep with. And he was connecting his life with somebody that was going to stab him in the back and sell him down the river. Hey, what's he doing? Look at that again. You might want to underline those two phrases in your Bible. And he called to him Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. It just blows me away. And it causes me to think about those Legos and what they represent. Because for many of us, we're okay with this connection. We're okay with our life being connected to God. Because God's never betrayed me. Has he you? Correct answer is no. He's never betrayed you. He may have allowed you to walk into some things that are going to shape you, but he's never left you. He's never betrayed you. He's always with you. This is the one we have a problem with sometimes. We're okay with connecting our life with God. It's those other crazy people. Those other people who are trying to follow Jesus. And see, what we do is we're good with this one. We're not so good with this one because we say things like this. If I connect my life not only with God, but with other people who are trying to follow him, they might hurt me. I can't really trust them. If I share what's really going on, they won't really understand. I can't take a risk and walk into that Bible fellowship because the people in there already know each other, and I'd kind of feel like a disconnected third wheel, kind of like that Lego that's left on the floor. Besides, there probably really are weird people in there. I better just come in here where I can be anonymous. And nobody will really know me. But God, I'm connected to you. And at least I'm in the same room with the weirdness. Hey, I hear you. I need my space too, whether you really know it or not. I'm an introvert. I really am. I'm kind of an introvert. I like my space. I like being with you though too. But I need my space sometimes. And some of you are going, yeah, man, I could use it right now. Hey, listen, I'm not asking you or advocating that not only you be connected with God and just anybody. I'm not saying that God wants you to go to the food court at Concrete Mall and try to develop deep, authentic community with somebody who's eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich over there that you've never seen before. I'm talking about being connected with other people who are trying to follow Jesus. That's not the food court. There are people who continue to show up in this place. I take that as you are trying to follow Jesus. Are they perfect? No. Are you? No. Am I? No. Might there be some people who irritate you in those Bible fellowships? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The nervous laughter. Can't laugh too loud sitting next to them. But can I tell you this? It's in your Bible fellowships where you may meet and connect with the person who's going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. Why? Because they're trying to follow Jesus just like you. It's in your Bible fellowship that you may be about to walk into a relationship that's going to just laugh with you like you've never laughed before. That's going to experience community the way God always intended for you to experience it. You're going to walk through loss with people, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to bring food to your house. That's reason enough to be connected. But what's going to happen is somebody's not going to be a good cook, and then you got to be nice. Most of the time, it's great, though. And you know what else is going to happen? Sometimes the person that brought you food is going to go through a lot. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to bring them food. Why? Because you're connected. And because you're being the body of Christ. And you're walking through life connected the way God designed you to be. Connected with Him and connected with others who are trying to follow Jesus. And some of those connections in there will be natural, and some of them will be hard and wear on you. Parker Palmer says this about biblical community. He says, community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Community is the place where Judas always is. And sometimes it is you who are Judas to someone else. You ever thought about that? Ouch. You may not even realize who you're betraying. But it could burn. It could burn. So community, hear me. It's not the place where you just go and just kind of love everybody and rub affirmation cream all over each other and just feel like a big group hug. There's some of that. But a lot of community, the spiritual discipline kind of community, is just continuing to put yourself in a place to be purified into the person that God longs for you to be. A discipline is something that shapes you, forms you. And nothing else in the world like human relationships will grind you into who God designed for you to be. It's incredible how the people of God can be used by God to make you into who He always longed for you to be. And that will not happen if you're only connected to Him, but you're disconnected from other people. See, it's easy for me just to hang out with my buddies who have shallow relationships that never really go deep. I mean, that's easy. But to be connected like Jesus is modeling in Scripture, that is hard. Sometimes Judas will betray you. And what will happen when Judas in your Bible fellowship betrays you? You're going to want to do what? Disconnect. You're going to want to disconnect and not put yourself in that. And you'll just kind of want to do your own thing with God. And men and women, as painful as it may be, God doesn't want you to live lives of quiet desperation and quiet isolation. He wants you to connect. Some of you did not grow up in a church or a background of church that emphasized this. Many of you who've been walking through our church doors have come from different backgrounds other than Baptist. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. The thing that was probably really communicated and emphasized in your particular situation was you come to what I always called as a little kid and still do, big church. You go to big church. And as long as you go to big church, that's enough. That you're connecting with God. You go, you sing a few songs. You say a few prayers. You listen to a sermon. They pass a plate. It kind of feels sometimes like you're paying God a tax. And you know, it for some of you, you called it mass, whatever. And then you went to Luby's. And you had a Lou Ann platter. And then you came back next week and did the same thing. And maybe you connected with God, but you never really connected with anybody else. And you're missing some of who God wants you to be and what he wants you to be. And hey, if you're sitting there going, yeah, that's kind of me, I'm so glad you're here. I really, really am. I love it that all kinds of people are walking through the doors of Arapahoe Road. Do you know that we've got people from Catholic backgrounds, Episcopalian backgrounds, Lutheran backgrounds. We've got Methodist backgrounds. We've got people who come out of no background. We've got Muslims who've walked through the door, Jews who've walked through the door, Buddhists who've walked through the door. I love it. I love it. Why? Because that's who lives around our community. I love it that people are walking through the door. And some are finding Christ, and Christ is finding them. Can I just show you what's taken place over the last year? Since February the 27th, my first day here, through Christmas Day, where there's 179 decisions, God has been at work. 66 of those decisions were baptisms. People coming to faith in Christ and following him in baptism by immersion. 72 made decisions, what's called internally, transfer of letter. That just means they were a member at one Baptist church and they transferred their membership to this Baptist church. But here's the number that's really interesting to me. 41 of you came here by what's called a statement of your faith. That means you weren't previously a member of another Baptist church. You just affirmed, yes, Jesus is my Lord, and I have been baptized by immersion. And several who fall into that category may not have come out of a background that emphasized being connected with other people who are trying to follow Jesus. That's why we're talking about it. Because I want everybody to be who God longs for you to be. Because that's what Jesus models in his own life. Even though there's going to be a Judas. And that's why it's a discipline. Because it's not always easy. I mean, when was the last time you were real and authentic with a group of people who knew you and who were trying to follow Jesus, and you opened your life and said, this is what we're going through. Please walk with me. Please don't betray me. Just walk with me. That'd be kind of refreshing to have that. And maybe you can choose to open yourself up to the spiritual discipline of community in 2012. Do me a favor. Would you take these little sheets in your bulletin? We got back a ton of connection cards last week. George has been filtering through those. He's been trying to make connections with those of you who've said, hey, I'm willing to take a risk and try to find a place to connect. Many of you on there wrote some things that said, answering the question, how could we help you connect? And you said, man, if there was a time where we could like ask some questions and maybe meet some of the leadership or help find our place before we got here on a Sunday, that'd be really helpful. Well, okay, we're responding. We created, since last week, a connection cafe. Okay, it's not going to be open all the time. It's going to be open 1 hour on Monday, the 23rd of January. Okay. For those of you who are sitting there going, I want to find my fit. I want to find a place to connect. It's going to be in the fellowship hall from 7 to 8. Yes, there'll be childcare, so you don't have to lug your kids, you know, and by your side. They'll take care of your kids. We're just going to have coffee. We're going to have some dessert. And just, it's going to be a come and go, mingle time. It's not going to be a program, okay? If you're already connected, this is not for you. You go do your own thing. We're trying to connect those people who are feeling a little disconnected, okay? And it's going to be right back here next Monday, the 23rd, just for an hour. No pressure, okay? We're not going to make you sign up. We're just going to help answer questions and help you get connected. A second place, if you're a couple and wanting to find a place to connect with other couples and you just haven't yet, our marriage retreat is a great opportunity for you to connect with some other folks. Now, we are at about 65 or 70 couples right now and there's not a whole lot of space left. We were shooting for 50 and went way past that. But there's still some room there. And if you haven't signed up and you'd like to, you can do that right out here. If you've already signed up, your payment's due, and we're going to have a pre-retreat huddle with me on Wednesday the 1st. And we're just going to talk about what that two-day retreat's going to look like. Why are we doing what we're doing here? We're trying to resource you to get connected with God and with other people who are trying to follow Him. Now, what does God want you to do? That's the question that you have to ask and answer in 2012. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that you're a God who longs to connect with people. You created us with a need to connect with you and to connect with others. And Lord, today there's some people that are in this room that may need to take a next step to connect with our church. Lord, you've been bringing people here who've been visiting, and maybe today is the day to go, yeah, this is the place that God wants me to begin to connect my life with. And then I'll take other steps to find a small group later. But maybe some of you just need to take that next step and say, this is the church God wants me to be a part of. Man, if that's you, awesome. In just a second, we're going to stand. I'm going to be here at the front. We're going to worship just for a moment. And if you need to make Arapahoe Road your home, come see me. Others of you may need to make it known that you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized. And if that's a next step for you to connect with God and connect in your faith, come see me. I'd love to talk with you about that. There may be others of you who you've never taken the step to connect your life with Jesus. And man, if that's you, I'm so glad you're here today. And maybe you've just kind of been feeling God nudging you, saying, it's time. Man, if it's time for you to connect your heart with Jesus, I just invite you to pray a very simple prayer to Him. And just say, Lord Jesus, I admit that you're God and I'm not. And I need to be connected to you. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me of my sin so that I could be connected with you. And I'm calling out to you in prayer, asking you to save me and forgive me. The Bible says all who call on Him will be saved. And if you need to do that today, I'd love to help you. Whatever you need to do in these next moments, you do it. In Jesus' name.